This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
See, that's just Gordon Wilson's voice right there.
Yes, it is. 104. Let's go to Toronto, because it's Friday.
Friday.
Gord Wilson joining us. He was down at the skate, sent us all the sound. You might have heard his voice asking some questions in there. You'll have a call with Dean tonight. Hi, Gord. How are you?
Who cares about the rank here? This is good tunage here. Let's just continue to play the music, fellas.
Friday.
Friday. That's the only word I know in that song. But anyway, you know what? The rink was fantastic. It was a little chilly in the rink today, like very cold. So the ice should be just fabulous. And all set to go.
Okay. Now, Kenny and I were, anybody listening, you can tell, and I know this, I've spoken to this player a few times already in his very young career, and you have as well. Kenny counted, I think that was Mark Masters' first time sitting there in a scrum for that long with Ridley Gregg. Mark asked him 12 questions, and and that dragged out about 2 minutes.
He's
a wonderful young man, a man of few words, Gord. And let's just see. I'm excited to see him play tonight in the Battle of Ontario with what he can bring to the table in his second NHL game.
Yeah, absolutely. What can you do for an encore? That's the big question mark going into this one here with Ridley, because his debut, just under 14 minutes and change, was absolutely spectacular. He clamped down in his own end, did a terrific job of defending, and obviously with 8 shots on goal and only the third player since the NHL started keeping track of shots on goal, and that was back in 1959-60, if I'm not mistaken, fellas. There have only been 3 players who have debuted and had 8 shots on goal, and Ridley is one of them. And I'm anxious to see how his line mates perform tonight as well, because to me it looked like Alex DeBrincat and Claude Giroux had a little bit more of a spark to their game as well on Wednesday night.
Gord, I got 2 questions for you. The first, I want story time with Gord Wilson. Who is the best / worst short answer player that you've ever had the pleasure of interviewing?
Sean McCaffrey.
I knew the answer, but he'd mess with you. He'd do it on purpose.
Do you want me to expand on this?
Absolutely.
Well, so when I was doing TV and covering the team for the network, the new RO.
The new RO with Gord Wilson, Rickside.
Yes, absolutely. When news breaks, so does our equipment. Sean, for whatever reason, the producer, Eddie Milliken, wonderful guy, he always requested, when it was a TV game, he'd always look at me and said, who do you want for first intermission? And before I could even suggest a player, he'd say, let's do Sean McKechnie. And by the 5th or 6th game, I'm going, are you kidding me? Eddie, are you listening to these interviews? He gives me nothing. He says nothing. He doesn't want to do these. I no longer want to participate. And Sean is a... I consider him a pretty good friend. We've kept in touch over the years.
He's a good guy.
But he just did not want to do them. And I think his motive was, if I do worse the next time, they won't ask me the next time. And for whatever reason, our producer said, we're going to get Sean McKechnie again. So there's your story time, and there's the short answer. McKechnie, bar none, without question. He would short answer me on just about every question that I would ask. And I got my back to the camera now, and I'm making faces at him going, please give me something else here. Anyway.
If you break enough dishes, you won't be asked to wash the dishes anymore.
No, yes. Now, have you guys played Brady yet? The tape I sent back of Brady.
We played everything you sent.
Yeah, well, how about Brady, though, talking about Ridley Gregg? Gregg, of course, lived with Brady a little bit in training camp this year, and Brady said once you open him up, he's a lot of fun, but he had intimated as well that Ridley is like that with teammates, is very serious, all business, and as the coach said, described after the game and yesterday, this morning, he's a hockey player. This guy's a hockey player. And he's got a task at hand here and is pretty focused.
That was the exact same thing that Chris Hamilton Our good friend Gord Wilson, the equipment manager for the Ottawa 67, said, as he had him at the World Juniors, until he brought up Tyler Boucher. And that got Ridley Gregg to open up a little bit, because Tyler Boucher is, well, they live together as well. But a little hint for you if you want to open up Gregg just a little bit. The first game was a phenomenal performance from Gregg, one that exceeded my expectations. Is he the type of player that is going to be able to go out there and do it again? Or is that emotional level just turned down a little bit after the emotion of his opener?
Well, that's a great question here. And the answer that I have for you is, where is his emotional level? How can you tell what his emotional level is? He was surprised that he had 8 shots, told us this morning. Obviously, you guys heard it as well, that he was surprised that it totaled 8 shots. He knew he had the puck on his stick a little bit, though, and obviously got the puck to the net. But again, he's as even keel as any young person that I've ever been around in terms of describing the emotions of the game and his reaction to it afterwards. It was just another day at the office for him. It happened to be his first game in the NHL, and he happened to perform very well, and let's move on to the next one. I don't know. I think we get the same kind of performance from him as we saw on Wednesday, Kenny. And it's a great question to ask because, yeah, here's a guy who's, you've got to be extremely excited about your first opportunity in the NHL, long lifelong dream, and you get that chance and you have this game, and what's next? Well, I think he's probably, because he's finished answering all the texts and all the emails that he's received and all the phone calls, I'm guessing that he'll have a pretty good nap this afternoon in preparation for his first game at Scotiabank Place against the arch-rival Leafs. And as Mark Masters intimated, and I thought it was a great line of questioning from Mark in terms of what we all saw at the World Junior Championships and what people in Belleville have seen from the 28 games that he's played here with them. He's an agitator. He loves to get involved in that type of game, and what better rivalry that Ottawa has than this one here tonight and again tomorrow night against the Montreal Canadiens.
Anton Forsberg is going to start in goal, Gord, and we had this conversation with Dean yesterday, and I would assume you feel the same way. Mandalazy's here, but if he plays at all in this three-game stretch, that's probably something's happened that's not good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say Forsberg can go back-to-back. You got an extra day before the game Tuesday, and then you're off here. So this is an opportunity for him. He played very well coming in relief. And can Forsberg maybe get on a bit of a roll here before the break?
Yeah, that's the big question, and that's the big hope, right? And I don't think there's any doubt, no doubt in my mind, that the net is Anton's now until after the break. The coach reiterated that Cam Talbot won't be available until after the All-Star break, so he's not available for the next three games. And my goodness, do we need to even question the stamina of a goaltender in today's NHL in terms of whether he can play two games in a row? Holy smokes here. What's wrong with our game if a goalie can't play two in a row back-to-back nights? Look at Marty Brodeur, 73, 74 games, his career high. And once it's come on here now, he's good to go for the next three games over the next 5 days, and then get 9 days off and get back into the net. Zero issue with Anton Forsberg starting tonight and starting tomorrow night and starting Tuesday in Montreal. Zero issue whatsoever, unless, and I knock on wood as I say this, and unless something unforeseen happens as far as injury is concerned. But you didn't hear me say that, because that's the jinx.
Gord, big picture, Lloydy brought this up. Statistically, the Ottawa Senators goalies are right around the middle of the pack. But how would you evaluate the goaltending so far that the Ottawa Senators have been able to receive?
Oh, well, they've given up more goals than they've scored in the month of January, and that's the reason why they're a game below 500. They're 5-6 in January and have been outscored by 12. And that's a goal a game, and their goaltending has to be better. I think we saw better goaltending, more consistent goaltending in December, and that's why they went, 8-4-2, something along those lines. And the numbers spoke for themselves. The save percentage was better. The goals against average was better. There was more consistency from the goaltenders. And as a result, the team played better and came out of the month of December with their best record so far this year. They stumble out of the blocks in January. And, you know, I'll start by saying the power play has not been as successful. The penalty kill has not been as successful. Going into Wednesday's game, they had given up 5 power play goals in the first 10 games of this month. They gave up 5 power play goals all of December, for heaven's sakes. And it was an indication that the penalty kill contributed to the victories here. So the penalty kill has dropped, the power play has dropped, but so too is the goaltending. It's not been nearly as good, and it has to get better. And it comes back to Steve's point earlier that they need to get somebody on a run here, and they need to. One of those two guys needs to be at his finest every night to give this team a chance to win.
Well, and Talbot was playing well, and Forsberg played very well when he came in, got the win, but you only scored 2 goals to win, right? And it's the goal scoring continues to be a problem, Gord. Like, I just, at this stage of the season, the Senators, we all know what's most important. It's about cutting goals than getting them, right? That's going to lead to more winning hockey. And they're 18th in the league right now in goals against. That's better than they were last year. They're 27th in goals for. And that includes the power play that got pistol hot. So it's never one thing, and that's I guess what this conversation's about. It's funny how we don't talk about put as much pressure on the goaltending when you're getting some goals here as well. And hey, it was great to get the win the other night, but you only got 2 still. They still got to find a way to generate some more offense.
Yeah, 100% they do. And you know, Sheldon Keefe, in his last words in addressing the media this morning, said when asked about Ottawa, and he said, you know, they always seem to get their best from the Senators, and he said we got to win the 5-on-5 game, and I almost let out a loud snort when I heard that, because I just had finished doing numbers this morning on the Ottawa's 5-on-5 game, and they're 32nd in the league, Steve, with 70 5-on-5.
How many teams are in the league, Gord?
32, Steve.
32, okay.
Yeah, and they're a minus 35 overall at 5-on-5, and look at I think the team leads. I have a stat in my phone here that I can't dig up right off the top of my head here, but off the top of my head, I think the Senators are the number one team in percentage getting goals off their power play. In other words, I think the power play has contributed to, if I'm not mistaken, about 47% of the team's overall goal scoring, which is
anecdotally that adds up. If you've crunched the numbers, I believe you. Because it looks like that, right?
Well, for sure it does. Yeah, absolutely it does. And we saw going into the Islander game, 2 straight losses. They were 0-7 on the power play over that stretch. And there wasn't a lot of momentum generated. And every coach will tell you, right, guys, that if our power play, it doesn't have to score every time, but if it can at least generate some momentum, maybe we'll be able to have a little bit of luck at 5-on-5. Well, that hasn't been the case. Power play has had lots of sniffs and lots of good looks and doesn't score all the time, and that's fine. That's acceptable. But that momentum off the power play, unfortunately, has not translated into momentum at 5-on-5 because, again, the numbers speak for themselves. 32nd in the league.
Sorry, Kenny, I just want to jump right back up. Like, is that the most – for me, when I think about it, Gord, this team's inability to find the back of the net this season might be it's the most surprising thing about this team. Like, you could talk about maybe they can be a playoff team if this and this happens, but you look at the offseason that they had, and we all knew that the D is not deep enough, 1 through 6. We know that, right? The fact that the goals against is not horrific where it's been in other years. They're 18th overall in the league. It's not great, but it's not like wow bad. I think if you would have told me that's where they were in late January, I think that I would have said, well, they're going to be closer than 12 points out of a playoff spot. I am blown away how this team, and I know they lost Norris for a chunk of it, but still, look at the skill they have here. I'm shocked that they have not been able to score more this season. That's the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah, me too. 100%, it's the biggest surprise. You can live with the inconsistencies of goaltending. And you know what? Cam Talbot ranks right up there for me as surprise number two. And I can tell you, I had many a discussion with a lot of people in Ottawa, on the radio, outside of the radio, and across the country doing talk shows that, you know, in preview shows, what's going to be better about the Senators. My first comment was, well, they're going to be able to score. And my second comment was, and they've got an all-star goaltender from last year, a veteran presence who's, you know, going to provide them with the level of stability in the nets that they haven't had consistently over the last couple of years. Well, Steve, those 2 points are out the window here at the midway point of this season because they've had an inability to score, and Cam Talbot has been inconsistent. So how wrong am I? That being said, the goal production, Steve, to your point, is shocking when you think about it. When you bring in Claude Giroux, premier playmaker in the NHL for so many years and can score, Alex DeBrincat, and a healthy Josh Norris until he got hurt 5 games in, I think everybody anticipated that goal scoring would be the least of their problems. And I've got it here on my computer here, fellas. What's even more telling and more shocking about this 5-on-5 play, and there are 32nd in the league. I'm looking at the number one team in the NHL at 5-on-5. And guess who it is? It's the Seattle Kraken. Hmm. Ottawa has 75-on-5 goals. The Kraken have 126. And I think you'd be hard-pressed. I think anybody, when you look at both lineups, you know, on first blush at the start of the season, I don't think there would be anybody in the hockey world who would have said the Kraken would be 50 goals or whatever, 56 goals ahead of the Senators in 5-on-5 play through 50 games.
Easy. No, I agree with you. And then the easy thing to look at is shooting percentage. And again, number one in the league, Seattle Kraken at 10.7%, 5-on-5 shooting percentage. That's incredibly high and is way above anybody else. San Jose's second at 9.5.
Where'd you find this? This is great.
It's on NHL.com. At the very bottom of the league, the Ottawa Senators.
I can hear you typing, yeah. Gord.
Oh, I'm not typing. That.
It's on the stats page and SAT percentages. The Ottawa Senators, 6.1% shooting percentage, 5-on-5.
Well, hang on here. Just back up a quick second here because I just want to add this.
SAC percentages. It's on NHL.com.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, good. And then save percentage the other way, 5-on-5, goes the same way, where the Sens are near the bottom. The combined shooting percentage and save percentage is 96.7 for the Ottawa Senators. It's far below the league average, and it's dead last in the NHL. And it's what... Just with your eye test and not looking at these exact numbers, but with your eye test, why is that shooting percentage so low for the Sens and not getting the saves, obviously, 5-on-5, but focusing on the shooting percentage, what leads to being over 4 points lower than the Kraken?
That's a good question. And I, you know what? You can, this is going to sound dumb, but I'm a believer in this. And Steve, I think you might be as well as you, Kenny, too. The hockey gods have a way of looking at things, and when you all of a sudden feel snake bitten around the opposition net, you're then all of a sudden overthinking things, not doing things instinctively, not letting your shot just go. Then you're all of a sudden starting to think things out. You take on that extra second of thought process. You take an extra peek at the goaltender, and you try and place your shot, and the goaltender is going to make a save. I think the numbers bear it out as well analytically, but this team is top 10 in the league in chances for and expected goals for, but the shooting percentage obviously brings all those numbers down considerably when they don't score. It's a mystery that, I mean, you can go through analytics until you're blue in the face. The bottom line is this team is not scoring goals for whatever reason. And I think I have a bit of a theory on that. I don't think they're nearly as ugly in front of the opposition net as they should. And I think that bad habit, fellas, started in game number one. We sing the praises of Craig Anderson and that 4-1 Buffalo win in the first game of the season. They, and he stopped, 38, 39 shots, whatever it might have been. It was one and done. You've got to get ugly in this league to win hockey games. And this team doesn't get ugly enough, I don't think.
All right. Tyler Mott, I thought there might have been a chance he plays tonight. Do we know where he's at? Do you think he plays in the two remaining games before the break, tomorrow night in Montreal, or against Montreal and in Montreal on Tuesday?
Dean and I were talking about that in the stands today. Tyler's not on this trip, and if he is, we haven't seen him. So,
okay.
So I'm going to say he's not ready to go tonight, and it won't be a last-minute change because we didn't see him on the ice, and I haven't seen him in the hotel lobby or anything. So there's not going to be a morning skate tomorrow, I'm thinking. There will be some of the extras that possibly will be able to skate, and you'd think Tyler Mott will go for a twirl tomorrow morning. Whether he can announce himself ready to go or not by game time remains to be seen. But my guess is, Steve, that they'll get him in a practice before one more practice before they put him in the lineup here. And if and when he's available, I would guess that it would be closer to Tuesday than to either tonight or tomorrow.
Obviously, the coach liked the way that the splitting up the lines and putting a quote-unquote worker on each line work because he's going back to it for tonight's game. What was your assessment of the jumbled-up lines for last game?
Well, again, Dean and I were talking about this in the stands when the line rushes started and we saw that there were no changes. My first comment was, because of the game that we saw from Drake Batherson, it wouldn't surprise me if the Stutzla-Kachuk Joseph line starts the game, and if there's any hesitance or if there's any hint of a drop-off or not enough production, my guess is that Batherson and Joseph will flip, and you'll see Joseph play with Pinto and Brassard and Drake play with Jim and Brady. I don't think there will be too much of a hesitation in that. The Senators scored twice in the first half of Wednesday's game, and they were able to hang on and win that game against the Islanders. So I'm thinking that the coach will go with, don't fix what ain't broke. And then if, in fact, there's a hint of some drop-off in play or not enough production, certainly from the Stutzla-Kachuk combination, then they'll get a different player to play with, and my guess is it would be Drake.
That's a flip that happens regardless. So it's coming out of special team situations, right? Depending who was on the ice, whether it was a PK or power play, and Batherson saw some shifts, and I'm sure he'll see some shifts of them tonight. Just a matter of how many. All right, Gord, are you in the hotel room right now, getting ready?
That's just another example. That comment from you, though, is just another example of the age-old expression that I have used when describing Steve Lloyd as a player and as a person. He's got million-dollar legs.
Yeah,
10 cents worth of hands and about 75 cents worth of hockey mind, and that's just a brilliant comment by you. So, yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm in the hotel room, Steve.
Okay. Well, my final point, piggybacking, is Kenny found something you didn't know existed. Apparently, I want to help you out as well. Okay. You don't have to stand up and go to the television anymore these days to actually change the channel. There's a thing there. Look to your right on the night side table.
God.
The remote, it's called a remote control cord that they've invented. And you can sit there and you can change the channel and you don't have to get up.
You know what you can also do now? I don't want to complicate things too much, Gord, but on some TVs and in some nice hotel rooms, you can actually download an app onto your phone and change the channel with your phone, too.
God.
I don't want to go too far, though.
Well, app is short for application, Gord.
Okay, very quick story time here. This TV in this room of mine, okay, it takes so long to change the channel, okay? You go down, and the progression of the channel actually changing takes so long.
Gord,
the guy,
it's called lag. Lag, that's another industry term.
Lag. Yeah.
Lag.
I actually texted Dean last night to say, what freaking channel is TSN on? I want to watch the game. And he said he hadn't turned his TV on yet. So it took me 10 minutes to find TSN last night to watch whatever game I watched last night. Anyway.
Gord still has a VCR in a room at home with 12 flashing. It's been like that for 30 years.
Well, you're half right. It's beta.
Okay. All right. All right, Gord. We'll talk again tonight. I'll be back for a pregame show. Can't wait for view from the booth. You better bring it.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right. That was nice.
Gord Wilson joining us from Toronto as our Sens and NHL insider. We'll take our break, take you up to 2 o'clock. Kenny, let's do it again right here, okay? All I'm doing for Kenny Caller number 15 right now gets a four-pack of tickets to the RV Expo, which starts 1 week from today. That's next weekend. Four-pack of tickets for caller 15, 750-1200, star 1200. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Josh writes, I can't believe the mean-spirited mocking you both have towards poor, innocent Gordo. This one, does Gord know you don't have to say operator anymore when you're making a call? Cheers, fellas. Fitzy.
Attaboy, Fitzy.
I think Gord's problem in his hotel room was that he was looking to turn the top dial to UHF before turning the bottom dial, Gary and Barhaven. And the list goes on. There you go. Yep.
Good times.
Yeah. Now, Gord's defense, and you've experienced this, I don't know what it's – oftentimes you go to a hotel, right, and they've got their own little in-house, like you turn the TV on, it's on their channel, yeah. Right? And they got and there's a little guide that's built into it. It always sucks. And there's always stupid lag, and it's just so. And Gord didn't have any time for that. But the funny part is, Gord got so frustrated. I'm calling Dean.
Yeah, Dean's gonna fix it. This will be like, better.
Gord behaved like some listeners, not all, or viewers, or some people that get mad about something on TV about a favorite sports team, and they call a radio station to complain to the producer. Who's got nothing to do with it. Sometimes it's in a different city. But that doesn't matter. I'm mad. I got to call somebody. That was Gord.
This is the first number I found.
Yep.
Dean was the last person that Gord talked to. Dean, you're hearing about this. I need to know what channel TSN is on. Tell me!
Gord picked up his phone, hit the phone icon in the bottom. Mine's in the bottom right. And the last number was Dean, and he just, bang, he hit it again. And another thing. How come I can't get no Tang around here? That was pretty much it. He's just yelling at Dean to fix his TV. And Dean's like, goodbye. Just go away. Hung up. I'm sure Dean's like, yep, that's great. Mute. Bye. Just keep talking. All right, Gord. I hope you're still listening. That was for you. Thank you for your time here on the show today. We'll take you up till 2 o'clock. It's the Sens and the Leafs. And the lead story for the Leafs is no Auston Matthews. He is out of the lineup not only tonight, but he's going to miss minimum 3 weeks. But the good news is, we've covered this a few times, there is a break coming up for all teams in the relatively near future, All-Star and bye. So you're not going to miss as many games as you would if there was a full slate that entire time. And the schedule, it's not exactly a murderer's row for the Leafs coming out of their break. They play twice against the Blackhawks, twice against the Blue Jackets, once against Montreal. The Montreal always plays them tough, like Ottawa always plays them tough. And it's not like Ottawa tonight. It's like, look at the standings, right? But they got the Capitals and the Bruins after the Sens game tonight, the Leafs do. And all of those games, no Auston Matthews. He's got a sprained knee. Happened Wednesday night in the overtime win against the Rangers. Matt Murray will get the starting goal for the Buds tonight. How do you think that fare... How do you think it goes for Matt Murray tonight? I think this is a guy you would say that mentally nothing should faze him. I mean, he's played and won. He's played two Stanley Cup finals, and he's won two Stanley Cups at a young age. He's played in high-pressure moments before. He's played in moments where every athlete's the same, and you've got to block it out, focus on the task at hand. Matt Murray should be able to do something like that. But this tonight, it's kind of a different thing. I'm sure he'll play it off if he's asked. This is a big deal for him. I mean, when he got sent down to the AHL last season, it was frosty between Matt Murray and the club when that happened and since that happened. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. This was not a very warm and fuzzy parting of the ways when they traded him to Toronto. Matt Murray, I'm sure, has got a chip on his shoulder, and I'm curious to see how that plays out for him personally against his old team tonight.
Yeah, everybody plays differently when they're fired up to get something done. Sometimes you put way too much pressure on one game, and it doesn't go well. Other people can handle that, and they need to psych themselves up for that that one game in order to get the best out of their performance. I would anticipate that Matt Murray will be able to do it, to pump himself up to be ready for it. But I don't know. I've long given up guessing what type of performance Matt Murray's going to have, because once you rule him out, he'll come back with something decent. And then you think, okay, well, he's getting on a roll, and out comes a subpar game. So I don't know. I hope that he, for him, I hope that he plays well. But I wouldn't be able to guarantee or say one way or the other what he's going to be able to perform. What would you expect out of him tonight, Lloydie?
Yeah, that's why I asked you, Kenny, because, man, he's box of chocolates, isn't he? It's so tough to get a read. Unfortunately, when even when he was healthy, there were times that it left you wanting. There's a reason why Pittsburgh ended up moving on from him to Ottawa, right, at a still fairly relatively young age. But to be fair to Matt Murray, it's tough to really get a full judgment of his assessment this time as Ottawa, because there were so many. He was either hurt and not available, or he was coming off an injury and you're still not fully ramped up. You know what I mean? Like, it was, he never got traction. So to be fair to Matt Murray, it's tough to really fully assess his time here in Ottawa. But then again, it is easy to assess, because I know JR loves this one. The best kind of ability is availability. And he just wasn't available enough. And at times when he was available, it consistently wasn't good enough. You remember the stretch that he had where he played really well for about 5 weeks. And when it was about week four of playing really well, it seemed over the top with people talking about how well Matt Murray's playing. It's because, you know, the team, of course, is all positive. You want to always accentuate the positive. That's part of being an athlete. That should be part of your life, right? Be positive as much as you possibly can, right? The mental battle is a big part of anything. But it just felt like it was, see? He's playing well, right? Yeah. He's playing well. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Because I think everybody was still waiting for the other shoe to drop. And unfortunately, it did. It did. Another injury. And anyways, he's now in Toronto, and he's had some injury problems again this season. But he's going to play tonight, and that's part of the storyline. To tune in tonight, check it all out. We'll talk about it in the pregame show as well, where Matt Murray's going to face his old team for the first time after he was traded away from the Sens to the Leafs in the offseason. Before we go to break, real quick here, Kenny, you think that there's now a pretty good chance that the Ottawa 67s could get two very key forwards back into their lineup tonight.
Yeah, it looks like both Logan Morrison and Vincent Rohr they're expected to play tonight, barring any last-minute setback. They're expected to join the Ottawa 67s, and for Rohr, for those that didn't see the play and the incident that happened that led to him missing, it's only a handful of games, to be quite honest with you. He collided with a defenseman for the Kingston Frontenacs, Thomas Budnick, and their rear ends hit, and it sent, as he jumped up into the air, it sent Vincent Rohr tumbling, and he landed on his neck and his head, and he was convulsing on the ice at just outside the blue line and had to be stretchered off. And that was not too long ago, and I'm trying to think of the exact date. It was a Wednesday game against the Kingston Frontenacs, and he's back in the lineup here tonight with no ill effects. That last game was 16 days ago, and when you saw it on the ice in real time and in person, one of the scariest things I've seen out on the ice. I've seen two people stretchered off of the ice. Brustowski for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds and now Rohr both this season. It wasn't looking good, and there was no way that I would ever have predicted that he would be back in game action just over 2 weeks later. Great news for the Ottawa 67s, and if Logan Morrison is back as well, that would be a tremendous boost. Was leading the league in scoring before his injury, just a minor lower body injury, but if he comes back, that would be massive to get two of the top centers in the OHL back into a lineup for a key matchup against the London Knights.
All right, so that's tonight on Brother Station 580 CFRA. Kenny will have the call starting at 7 this evening. We're going to have Sens and Leafs on TSN 1200, also a 7 o'clock faceoff, but a two-hour pregame show coming your way at 5 this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with one final segment, get you all teed up for one final time this week, together all week long. It's AJ and CJ with Matty Vowles. It's The Drive, three-hour edition coming your way at 2 on TSN 1200. All right, starting to slide into your weekend. We're getting into mid-afternoon on a Friday. And as usual, your good friends at TSN 1200 got you covered as well, right? Especially if you got a lot going on, right? You still want to be in touch about what's happening. A little play-by-play action. Kenny's got you covered on Brother Station 580 CFRA as well. Like tonight, a lot of the Knights are in town. Kenny's got the call. Want to take the game in, 7 o'clock face-off at the arena at TD Place, Pride Night as well. Senators in Toronto taking on the Leafs tonight on TSN 1200, 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock face-off. Tomorrow night, Senators back home, playing host to the Montreal Canadiens. Again, 5 o'clock for your pregame, 7 o'clock face-off. Little Sunday action as well with the doubleheader in the NFL, which will lead me to our web poll question of the day one more time here today on In the Box. We've got both games for you coming up on Sunday afternoon as the Super Bowl combatants will be determined by end of day Sunday. NFC Championship game is first. San Francisco will be in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. That is a 3 o'clock kickoff on TSN 1200. TSN CTV also picking it up on this side of the border. It's a Fox game for those that are thinking about who's going to be announcing it. AFC Championship game follows that at 6:30 on Sunday. That's a CBS-produced game. Cincinnati at Kansas City, 6:30 kickoff on TSN 1200, and then we'll know who's off to the Super Bowl, which leads us to our tool and equipment store. Web poll question of the day. There are four options, and it's the only four options that are there. Who will play in the Super Bowl? TSN1200.ca is where you can find the web poll. Click on the link, and it brings you to the Bengals versus the Eagles, way out in front, 42% of the vote. 49ers, Bengals, 27.4%. So that tells us right there, the voting public here, Kenny, not much faith in the high ankle sprain with Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs are at home. And Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback, but we know he's not 100%. And Joe Cool is Joe Cool as well. He's rolling for the Bengals. So those are the top two. And then tied for last and third, depending on how you look at it, 15.3% of the vote say Chiefs, Niners, and Eagles Chiefs.